It is the late night, Tuesday night edition of Theological. Let's go. My name is Joseph Laufman, and if your eyes do not deceive you, if you're getting a message, as I pour myself a cup of water, if you're getting this message like, yeah, it's, Joe, don't you know it's like 9 o'clock? First of all, I'm way past my bedtime. Not that I have to get up early in the morning. I just like getting up early in the morning. Therefore, I like going to bed early in the morning. Today, I had a full day. And I'm not talking into the microphone, and I apologize for that. I had a full day at work, and I we're doing VBS at my church tonight. And I got to participate in that, and it was just like, man, it's just like brutal, just the whole schedule. I mean, VBS is amazing and wonderful. I'm so glad we did it, and first night was without a hitch and was so great. And I'm also the elementary teacher. I teach like every other Sunday, and so getting to see all my kids there, it was a lot of fun. And of course, my children got to participate. That was a lot of fun. But I was like, I mean, in between like all my meetings today, I was like trying to work on this. And if you have gone to, my light just went out. If you have read this before, all my notes of everything I do are always on theologic.us. If you had read this, this is like, if you read it this morning and you read it again right now, it was completely different. I'm going to be honest with you. When I first wrote this, I approached Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. I honestly approached it like God's provision for us, right? And I don't think I'm alone in that, and I don't even think that's wrong. But when I started meditating and like thinking through, and like the more I dug into it, the more I realized it wasn't daily provision. It can be and both, right? My wife reminds me that all the time. It's like, could it be both? Well, it absolutely could be both. But earlier in the passage, God already told us, or Jesus already told us, it's like your father knows what you need before you ask it. Just go to him and ask, right? But in the context, and I didn't have the full verse here, so let me go ahead and see if I can do this right. Probably going to see my screen behind. There we go. All right, so let's check this out. Let me go back in time here. Matthew and 6. Let's go to 10, right? Okay, look at the context of this, okay? So, therefore, you should pray like this, right? Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Look at the context. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. But I want you, God is the thread through that. God is ultimate and supreme in our prayers, right? Our affections, our life, our eyes should be set on him. But let me contend something. It's because in verse 8, he says, don't be like him, be like them, because your father knows what the things that you need before you ask him, right? He already addressed, here's what I'm getting at. He already addressed the provisions. Let me bring this up to you. What do we really need in life? Okay, so let's go to prayer. We got a lot of work to do. Father God, if I had to say something that's just complete trash, just let it fall to the wayside. But God, if I say something that points to your son, would you open our eyes and open our ears and renew our minds? Would you fill us with your spirit today? God, we love you so much. In your son's name I pray. Amen. All right, let's get back into it. We got a lot of work to do. This became like, it went from a doctrine teaching and provision. And it's like, what does that look like and everything like that? And I could do that. I could do that episode. And here's the thing. Our Father in heaven knows how broken this world is. Our Father in heaven knows that we need food, water, shelter, all those things. He's not ignorant of that, right? He's like, oh, I'm just going to sit up there and chill. No, he's not that type of God. But here's the thing. What the Bible is constantly trying to drill into our heads, into our souls, into our hearts. It's like, what do you really need, right? Do you need food that will just probably last you one meal or even one day? Or do you need something that will keep you alive for all of eternity? Okay, let's read it. Matthew 6:11, give us today our daily bread. God knows what we need before we ask. He is our good Father in heaven. He provides for the birds in the air and the flowers in the field. How are we any less? How can we be any less than the birds in the air, right? He knows that we need food and water and housing. But that is just to survive the day. I'm repeating myself because I want to make sure I get these notes written. But what about to live forever and never die? What I'm going to do is that if we're going to talk about daily bread, what I'm going to propose to you is that God was talking about we need him every single day. We need God. We need Jesus Christ. We need the Spirit. We need the fullness of the Spirit in order to live fully unto him, to him, and just to be fully alive, period, right? And the best place I know to do that is in the Gospel of John. So let's do a hard shift from Matthew. Let's go into John and let's walk that out, okay? John 6, starting verse 22. The next day, the crowd... Let's see if I can do this. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat. They also saw that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples have gone off alone. Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. That's after the feeding of the 5,000. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum to look for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." Let's go back to John 4. If that sounds familiar, that language should sound familiar if you're reading the Gospel of John. Go back to John 4, starting in verse 13. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life." Who can give us this food that will never go hungry again? Or this water that we may never thirst? In other words, who can fix what is broken so that we will never perish but have everlasting life? Continue on. The point of that is that we need to believe in Christ Jesus. We need to trust in the Son of God. Continue on in John 6. "What can we do to perform the works of God?" they ask. In other words, in their minds, in the minds of everybody, it's like, tell us what we need to do in order that we can get God. Now, there may be some underlying, like, they didn't really want God. They just wondered what their stuff is. That's idolatry, right? We're all guilty of that. But here's the thing. Jesus met them where they were at. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." All throughout the Bible, all throughout the Bible. How many times have you read, "He believed and it was counted to him as righteousness"? Jesus Christ just laid that same thing out. Jesus Christ is not different in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. The gospel remains the same. "What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe you?" they ask. "What are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. From the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." Guess what? We not only need to believe in Jesus Christ, we need Jesus Christ. John 6:35. "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "No one comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I have told you, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. A lot of people wish that they lived in the time of Jesus. We're all, the more mature you become in your walk with God, the more you realize it's like, you know what? I would have been one of the ones who kind of just saw Jesus and went on my merry way. I promise you. I didn't get saved until I was 32. So I know for a fact, I wouldn't be like, oh, if I could just see God. No, if you saw God, you wouldn't have still believed. They didn't believe back in his day, and they still don't believe now. There's no difference. And why? Because belief in God is a supernatural act of God, period. Okay? Everyone that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. There's your proof right there. Everyone that the Father gives me will come to me. It's not we get to go to God. We're smart enough to go to God. We're brilliant enough, rich enough, smart enough. We work hard enough. We do the right things enough. No, none of that. Is that God, Father, will give us to the Son, and the Son will never cast us out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but I should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who sees the Son believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. My friends, I'm telling you that God does not lose his kids. And what I mean by that, we live in a time of deconstruction. We're in a time of people walking away from the church. They thought church was one thing. They thought faith was one thing, and they're walking away from. If you don't wrestle with your faith, you need to praise God right now. Those who are wrestling with their faith and doubt is starting to creep in. God has not lost his kids. God is the perfect Father in heaven. It so says those right there. Whomever the Father has given to the Son, he has not cast them out. Where people, I'll say this once, I'll say it a million times, where people are at now are not where they're going to be in the end, okay? All you got to do is continue to love them, continue to pray for them, continue to serve them, if that's God's will for your life and theirs, and just stick around. Watch the glory of God. Watch God melt their hardened hearts, okay? And here's the point. Like, everyone who sees the Son will believe it, and believes in him will have eternal life. Where we heard that before? John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Here's the next point. I lost track how many points I got. We need to obey Christ as Lord and King. Guess what? Because he is Lord and King. John 6:41 and 42. Therefore, the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I've come down from heaven? So you are going to take, like, you're going to lash out at Jesus, trying to use rational or reasonable doubt. John 3:36 says, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, right? But the one who rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. I want to throw this out to you. You go read the beginning of John 3. Remember the young teacher and his interaction with him. And there's also another story where it's like a rich young ruler, right? But then later on, there's a teacher that comes back to Christ. There's a rich young ruler who gives up everything he owns in order to follow Christ. Again, where people are at, it's not where they're going to end up. Next point. We are chosen by God for God to worship God. And I promise you, this is all related to daily bread. I'm going to close this up. Well, probably in about 10 minutes. John 6:43. Jesus answered them, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Going back to John 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of natural descent, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but God. Here's the drawdown point. Christ is our daily bread. John 6, 47 through 52. Truly I say to you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so anyone who may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And at that, the Jews argued among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Guess what? You know why? Because Christ alone is the giver of the fullness of life. Continue on in verse 53. So Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you do not have life in yourself. The one who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I am in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your ancestors ate. They died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. Ever. He said these things while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Here we go. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. John 10:10. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come so they might have love, have life, and have it in abundance. Okay? We are to pray that God will provide, but God's going to provide anyway, right? And that is huge to say, because I know there are people who are homeless, there are people who are sick, people who are dying, people who need food, people who are poor, can't pay their bills. I know. God knows what they need. I see it, right? But what do we really need? We need God, and we need God not just one time. We need him every day. We wake up, we need him every day. Everybody wants to be truly alive, but no one wants to believe. Go back to John 6:60. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard, but who can accept it? But Christ already said that his word gets taken away, it gets choked up, and burns in the afternoon sun. Remember this parable of the sower, right? I'm going to deviate a little bit. Let's go into Acts. This is nothing new. Acts 17:32. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule Paul, but others said, we would like to hear from you again about this, right? Jesus is giving us hard sayings. He's like, you're going to have to eat of my flesh. And they're like, how can we eat your flesh? And atheists all the time, they love that saying because they have an unrepentant heart, and their minds have not been renewed by God. There's no way they can understand that. What God is saying, what Christ is saying, I am the source of the fullness of life. You dig what I'm saying? I am the source of life. Not only for the life that you have now with the breathing and the blood pumping through your heart, but true life with his spirit dwelling in you. That's the fullness of life. Why? Because life was always supposed to be eternal. From Genesis 1 and 2, we were designed to worship God forever and ever. Sin completely breaks that. Guess what Christ does? He comes in and redeems that. And he does so by giving us his spirit, by giving up his life. And guess what? There is nowhere else to go but God. There are no other paths to this. You want eternal life? That's how you get it. Go through Jesus Christ. Let's finish out starting at verse 61. Jesus, knowing in himself that the disciples were grumbling about this, asking him, does this offend you? Then what if you just observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who don't believe. And Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and the ones who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And going right back to what he's been preaching the entire time, Jesus replied to him, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is the devil." He is referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. Here's my prayer today. My salvation today saved me. Amen. And that's today's episode. I hope you're encouraged by that, but I hope also, if you do not believe, I hope now that you believe the Son of God. These are not my words. These are the words of God. So take it, go to his word, test it, cross-examine it, question it. If you have questions, go to your local church, ask a pastor, pull any pastor. They'll be happy to show you the words of eternal life, right? I'm just trying to direct the way. I hope I'm a speed bump along the way so that where you can have eternal life. I hope one day that in heaven I get to meet you, okay? So be back tomorrow. It might be just as late, but hopefully not. We will be back with, it's going to be Gospel Meditations. It's going to be 1 Timothy, maybe chapter 4 or the beginning of chapter 5. I hope you join us later.